But they don't, that's the thing, is they don't see you as one of them, right? So you've achieved something, which is, I mean, a modicum of success. You're not really that successful, and you know this, and I know this, but people who, again, it's the pusillanimous, people think so small. They think if you make $100 from X advertising revenue sharing, that you're wealthy, right? And I really don't think it's about money. Like, I don't think everyone out there is just poor and that's the problem. I think there's a spiritual sickness in the Catholic world that makes people think very tiny. They don't have which is weird because we're in America, which anything is possible here. We're the greatest country in the history of the world. In the biggest place, we have Buc-ee's and people are upset because you have 40,000 followers on Twitter. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that hears those sleigh bells ringling, ting, ting, tingling, ting. It's your boy,
Ethan. Oh boy, and I'm Patrick, and it's almost Christmas, and I'm Holly, and I'm jolly.
She holly on my jolly till I...
She roast on my chestnuts till I open fire.
It's always the best one. Oh, just a little bit of inside humor there for the new listeners of the show.
I don't know where I heard that.
This is a Catholic comedy podcast where me and Patrick talk about the love, the deep love that we have for our Lady Mary, but also our mother, the church, but also our wives. And it's really a podcast about women, if you think about it.
If you really think about it, it kind of is by women for women.
Actually. Yeah, this is kind of.
Are we ever going to start that femininity podcast? Are we ever going to start that podcast on authentic femininity?
Yeah, and just what it really means to embrace, like, what it means to be a woman.
What should it be called? It needs to be something that signals dudes talking about women.
Something that signals dudes talking about women.
What should our
everything
podcast,
app the podcast
the podcast what it needs to be what's the name of our femininity podcast?
Yeah,
the only Catholic podcast for women by men.
We could call it something like I'm thinking about Among the Lilies, right? There's this idea of like a beautiful woman in a garden.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get like a gasoline powered heavy machinery inside that garden. That's the image that I'd like to evoke here. So I'm thinking of like trimming the hedgerows for ladies. Okay. Well, it's not the final form, so I need you to remove that judgmental.
We're in a brainstorming session.
There's no bad ideas
right.
in a brainstorm. No, all right. How about this? Weed Whacker, Hardly Knower, the podcast.
Great start.
Okay.
We'll put a pin in that. No bad ideas. Put a pin in that. We'll circle back in the new year.
You're so mean to me when I'm on the podcast with you. I could be doing anything else right now. I'll have you know that I gained 15 followers on X today. So I don't need your nonsense. I'm feeling good.
Man.
I'm happy. I want you taking away my happiness this evening.
I got nominated in Masterclass.
Of course you did. You're electric.
I want to tell the fans. I got nominated for an award.
For a group that you pay to be a part of?
I got nominated for an award for Best Thread Writer of the Year.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Who else is nominated?
I didn't look. I just scrolled down until I saw my name.
If it's Culture Critic, you're losing.
I don't think Culture Critic was nominated. Oh, wait. Actually, yeah. If he might be nominated, I might lose. I don't think I'm going to win. I don't think my threads are the best on Twitter.
Your threads are how you've grown such an impactful social profile.
Correct, but they're not I don't think they're the best. I think there's a lot of room for improvement. I really like writing them, though. Mm-hmm. It's fun. It is so fun.
I have a couple of really good ideas for threads, but the problem is that all of my ideas for threads take like a research, you know? Mm. Like, I have one where I know you're not going to steal these, so I feel comfortable sharing them with you. but
wouldn't steal them anyway.
I know you wouldn't. Well, they're not your brand, I don't think. I have one where I want to do like how JP2 is the most seen person in history. I want to compare. Well, I had that idea and talk about that, but I want to compare like Taylor Swift's directly, like the places she went to the crowds that JP2 was able to pull, and like do a side by side. I think that'd be a really fun thread.
That's kind of fun.
And then the other idea actually, that I had for
you need to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great idea. The other one I had was movements in church history that converted the most number of people. So I'm thinking like going from in order of like, you know, the
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yeah, Our Lady of Guadalupe is massive. I'm thinking about when the Jesuits first started knocking around, the Franciscans, like these huge movements where they like entire countries would convert. I'm trying to, if I can get it into numbers, I think that would be a really great thread as well.
That probably won't take as much research as you think.
No, it probably won't. Yeah. And then I'm doing a thread about your mom also.
Stupid. It's just a dumb joke.
That's what we're here for, man. That's what we're here for, man. This is a big X week for us. So this is going to be an X heavy episode because of Dino last week, and because everyone was mean to you this week, and I want to talk about it. And I hate these people. I'm quitting Catholic Twitter because they were mean to you, and it's the final straw. It's the straw that broke the camel's back. It's the eye that threaded the needle of the camel, and I'm out. I don't want to
talk about them. I don't care about them. No,
we don't care about them. You do care.
If you want to, we can.
No. I think it's best to move on.
Yeah, I said something, honestly, benign. If I'm being, out of all the things I've said,
you've said a lot of crazy stuff, dude.
It's benign. But I the one big win is that I'll send you the screenshot of it. But someone was like, He's got to be using some kind of service that buys followers or some kind of engagement bot. And I was like,
that's crazy.
Be so good they call you a fake. Yes. Be so good they think you're cheating.
They think you're cheating.
This is great. He's like, oh, you must be cheating. I'm not.
There are some people on there that I think are cheating.
Like who?
I don't think Jeff Putnam really has 65,000 followers posting pictures of him in a cowboy hat every day.
I don't think you know who Jeff was.
I have no clue.
Jeff was like he was like the internet business guru guy for a minute.
Yeah, but now he just posts pictures of himself in a cowboy hat every day.
Yeah, but the followers are momentum, man. Like it's hard to you see someone who has 64K, you're like, "Oh, I should probably follow this guy."
I should probably follow him because I trust what do they call it? The democracy of the dead.
all the accounts that people don't open anymore that are still following me.
Yes. What are your big plans for Christmas, man? Are you excited to celebrate the birth of our Lord?
I do want to talk about Twitter more.
Oh, okay. I thought I was going to move on because you indicated that you didn't want to talk about it, but
now I do want to talk about it.
I do like how we're in a bit of we're in a marriage. Like I was angry because I wasn't on your Christmas card. And then, and then you said like, I don't want to talk about it. And then you're like, I actually do want to talk about it. It's kind of,
I want to talk about it now because you brought it up. I was like, I'm not going to bring it up because it's petty if I bring it up.
No, I think it's interesting. Well, we've both been on the X in a big way this week. Cause I think we really took to heart what Dino said last week, which is Catholics need to be more visible online. We need to be better at being online. I know I took that seriously, and I know that you've taken it seriously too.
I think our audience and us over the years, our relationship with the website formerly known as Twitter,
currently known as the Everything app,
was colored largely apart with our interactions with people on Catholic Twitter. True. And I was talking to Phoebe, and I was like, Phoebe, I figured something out. The thing that you're mad about is not Twitter. You're mad about Catholic Twitter. Catholic Twitter sucks. Yes. It's a bad place. Yes. They're mean. Yes. They're clicky and they're catty.
Yeah.
And I went on a big rant about this last night on my alternative Twitter account.
Uh-huh.
And Ethan said I was crashing out, which I learned is a bad thing.
No, I said it was a W crash out, which is good.
Oh.
An L crash out is bad.
Okay, W crash out is good.
Yeah.
But I basically...
You were crashing out, though.
I was totally crashing out. Because, I mean, I posted something that was benign about my experience. Now, I didn't phrase it as my experience, in everyone's defense. I phrased it as a general instruction. But it was about my experience about depression. And a lot of people got upset. At first, no one got upset. At first, it was, you know, it was seen by 24,000 people.
Mm-hmm. And all of them were normal.
All of them were normal. Because a lot of my posts now, they don't go to Catholic Twitter people first. They go to the general public first, which is great. And people were like, LOL, three glasses of scotch, right? They were making jokes. I was like, pick three things from this list. And one of the things in the list was a glass of scotch to deal with depression. And I was like, can I choose three glasses of scotch? Hilarious. And then people started coming in from Catholic Twitter going, oh, so I should just have three glasses of scotch. And I was like, all right, you're doing the meme unironically. And then people got mad. They said I was problematic. They called me a grifter. They were talking about me on alt. They called me tiresome. Whatever. They screenshotted me and talked about me. Fine. Yeah, I saw all of it because the X algorithm is really good at showing you stuff that's related to you.
That's about you.
even if it's not directly tagging you.
Right.
And then here we are like 3 days later, and those same people started tweeting and retweeting and talking about how really bad it is to gossip in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I hate all of you.
Wow.
I see you. Yeah. I am done with all of you. I think that you should delete your account because it's okay to gossip when it's someone that's doing something wrong in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It is wrong to gossip when it's someone you like. And so I understand that there's double standards. I get it. We're human beings. But I was like, all the worry of, am I doing something wrong? Like, am I doing something wrong? Am I trying to writing on Twitter about Catholic things, interacting with accounts that are bigger, trying to grow in some sense, building a business around what we know about the Catholic Church. Am I doing something wrong? And when I saw that, I went, oh, nope, I'm doing something right. And it doesn't matter what other people think. I'm going to keep doing this podcast. I'm going to keep doing our courses. I'm going to keep writing on Twitter. I'm going to do other things too. And they can all be sad and poor.
It's interesting.
Well, one of them's a Franciscan, so he should be poor.
He has to be poor, but... yeah. That's kind of part of the job. It's fascinating to me. Absolutely. I started reading again. Well, I read yesterday, but I started reading again.
Exodus 98.
I started reading again. And I want to be intentional about it. I'll share some more details about how my life is drastically changing tomorrow in the bonus podcast. So if you want to hear about that, subscribe to Patreon. But
well, this is the main show, so the bonus podcast is out already.
You can already hear. All you got to do is click that little button. You can hear all about my life and how I'm making radical changes.
We can start putting the bonus podcast on Spotify as locked episodes.
Oh, we should do that.
I saw it on a podcast the other day and I was like, man, this makes me feel a lot of FOMO.
FOMO. I was reading, there's a biography of Napoleon that I've had for a long time.
Oceans are now battlefields.
Huh?
Oceans are now battlefields. Go on.
I watched a Napoleon movie last weekend.
That's from, right? Yeah.
Terrible film. Oceans are now battlefields is from Master and Commander, dog.
Oh.
Yeah. But there is a scene where Joaquin Phoenix as Napoleon.
Same war, right?
No. They were kind of upset because there was the Seven Years' War, and then there's Napoleonic Wars, and there was the Hundred Years' War, and it was all kind of French and England in the water, you know.
It's but there's crazy this, that they yeah.
So there's a scene in a Napoleon movie where Napoleon, played by Joaquin Phoenix, aka the Joker, says to an Englishman, he says, "You think you're cool just because you have boats." But you're not. It was like so out of character for Napoleon. You think you're special because you have boats? Anyway, so I watched this movie.
That's so anachronistic.
I know. It was insane. It was insane.
That movie, that line was written by a millennial.
Yeah. Instead of making Napoleon like a really intelligent, highly educated autistic military leader, they made him like a really thuggish brute autistic military leader, you know.
You think you're the Rizzler, but you're baby Gronk.
Yeah. It was a very strange movie. I do not recommend anyone watch it because I don't think it's good. You can watch it if you want to. But so I started reading the biography because I'm like, I got to get down to the bottom of this guy. I mean, there's clearly some interesting subject material here. Even Ridley Scott can't make a movie anymore. I want to know what's going on. So I'm reading Napoleon. And you read some of the things that he's writing. He's like, he's super involved in politics. He's requesting years of leave from the military so that he can go be a political leader on his home island for years at a time. And then he comes back to the military and gets like 3 months of back pay. And then he leaves and he goes and is a political leader somewhere else for another 2 years. He's just always like striving and writing things in and trying to form alliances and doing all these things. I'm not trying to hold up Napoleon as a virtuous figure, but I'm thinking about him. And then I'm thinking about people in the church, people like John Paul II, who wasn't climbing for power, right? But when he was in power, he did everything that he could to make the church bigger, to spread the gospel to more people. Tireless. Like, I think about these big figures who are just like, who had 4 hours of sleep and were just focused on one thing. And just every day, no matter who was in their way, they just kind of tore through and kept going. And then I'm thinking about the people that are on Catholic Twitter that are mad at you because you're clearly trying to make the church better. You're trying to make the church bigger. You're nothing like Napoleon. You're nothing like JPT, to please get a small head. But crazy.
I was going to finish what you were saying. Like, people like me that are doing basically nothing and they're being
exactly.
It's crabs in a bucket is what it is. It's, you know, it's always when people are offended, it's more about them than it is about you because you choose to be offended, right? Mm-hmm. Like a part of the backlash from my depression tweet was just people reaching me and be like, I had depression once.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Awesome. That rocks.
You know? Very cool.
When I struggle with suicidal and homicidal thoughts, and I almost responded, please don't kill me. I understand. That would have been
so funny. Please don't come to my house with a crossbow and a pistol and threaten me and my family.
That's insane.
That is also crazy. Yeah.
But you know, it's very clearly not about me. It's mm-hmm. about them. Mm-hmm. And there's something that happens in the face of mediocrity when someone sees someone who is great and has achieved greatness. People are like, oh wow, they achieved greatness, right? They did it. Right. I love them so much. But in between not mm-hmm. being great, and then when you're not great and you're trying, they'll root for you because they love an underdog. Mm-hmm. But in between, when you start to succeed and before you achieve greatness, they hate you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I don't know what that is. I don't know why that is.
I think it's just natural human jealousy or envy. I think
maybe it's because people think that people are born great.
I do think that. I think that's baked into a lot of this, is people assume that there are some people that are born with a certain level of virtue and some people that aren't, and there's nothing you can do to close the gap, mm-hmm. which is just anti-Christian. You know, there's no reason you can't be the greatest saint that ever lived. There's no reason that you can't. Unless, like, God doesn't want you to be, and then that gets into the whole, like, God wants some people to be holier than others, and that's it's not a can of worms we like to get into on the Crunch Catholic Podcast. Yeah. But there's no reason why you can't, you know?
Like, I've kind of accepted that I am not a priest and I'm not a monk. And so part of my job, part mm-hmm. of my vocation is to become wealthier
mm-hmm.
to a degree,
mm-hmm.
you know, because wealth is a means to an end.
Yes.
In the same way that, like, you pursue it's the four big ones, right, are wealth, power, pleasure, and fame. Those are the four things that Aquinas talks four of the things that Aquinas talks about, of like, what is happiness? Like, where is happiness found? Is it found in pleasure? Is it found in wealth, power, or glory? Glory, not fame. And he's like, it's not found in any of those things. But those things are still there, and they're inherent parts of life, especially secular life. It's why religious and priests, to an extent, make promises / vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. It's so they don't live in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The world that inherently includes not poverty, not mm-hmm. chastity, not celibacy, and not obedience. Like accumulation of wealth, power, and pleasure. And so in the same way that it's not a sin to seek a sexual relationship with your wife, which inherently includes pleasure, it's not a sin to seek a raise or a bigger business or
more fame.
Views, right?
Yeah, that's the weird thing is that like people associate being more popular with the like the vicious glory, which is not true. I think it's dumb.
I understand because a lot of perception is that a lot of sinful, we're more tempted to use wealth, power, pleasure, and glory as ends rather sure. than means. We're more tempted to that. And so you have to be extra careful to a fault almost.
Yeah.
Like scrupulous to a fault. But I think that it's important to do things well. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to do something like create on a social media platform, and a lot of people, the one thing about Catholic Twitter, I think this is where AOP is right. A lot of people in Catholic Twitter aren't trying to create on Twitter. They're using it as a platform to just talk with their friends. And that's
fine. Which is fine. Yeah.
It's fine. That's not what it's for. That is what it's for. But it's like when people use it as a platform to post and create, you can't get upset at them for doing that. I think the engagement farming critique is funny because that's like one of the metrics on Twitter is engagement, and so that's something that occasionally you shoot for is engagement, not always.
Right. It's funny because engagement farming sounds like this terrible thing, but like if you have something that when you have more of it, it benefits your family and your community, then it's like dumb to not farm it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, we've got but this also, wheat, but let's make sure that we don't regularly have access to the wheat. Let's make sure that we have to stumble across wheat in the field somewhere. And let's not till it or grow it at all. Let's just find it. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Catholic men, when was the last time you read through the book of the prophet Isaiah? Maybe when you were in college studying theology, maybe never at all. I've read through the book of Isaiah myself multiple times, and I've gotten something new out of it every time. The book of Isaiah is called the fifth gospel, and for good reason. It's the book that contains the most references and prophecies of the birth of Jesus Christ, and so it's the perfect book to be reading through during Advent, during this Advent season, which is why I'm excited to be partnering with Exodus 90 for their Advent challenge. If you go to exodus90.com/thecrunch, that's exodus90.com/thecrunch. You can get a 14-day free trial of their app and try out their Advent challenge that is going on right now. So go to exodus90.com/thecrunch and you'll start reading through the book of the prophet Isaiah. You'll start spending your day in silence. You'll be taking those ice cold winter showers on Wednesday and Friday, and you'll be diving into a more spiritual and more ascetic approach to Advent as we prepare for the birth of Christ. Again, that's exodus90.com/thecrunch. Thank you to Exodus 90 for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. The other interesting thing is that they're using the term wrong. The term has a very specific meaning in the terms of service of social media platforms, which is engagement for its own sake. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you like this tweet, a little icon will pop up, and it's just a lie.
And it's not true. I get that. I sometimes click like on those.
I always click like on those because I want to see the little
cowboy or whatever cowboy. It is that it says it's going to
be. But that's engagement farming because it's engagement for its own sake. It's not engagement for another purpose or organic engagement. And so they're using that term wrong. And then the term grift as well is similar. It's exchange of no value Mm-hmm. Whereas a grift is, the way the term they use the term to mean a grift is, it's charging money for something that I personally don't value, as opposed to the reality of a grift, which is accumulating money through no exchange of value.
Right.
A grift is I give you nothing for money, whereas we're giving something that so and so just happens to think is worthless, which is okay. I disagree.
Yeah. You had something interesting before you went into engagement farming.
Sometimes I say interesting things.
No, but then you follow it up with a bunch of stuff that I'm not paying attention to because I'm thinking about the first thing and then I forget it.
One day we'll get good at podcasting.
Yeah, today's not that day. The thing I was thinking about was people. This is what I don't like. I think there's a real spirit of pusillanimity-ness.
You almost got it.
Pusillanimity. People are pusillanimous.
Yes.
That's such
there's got to be a way we can shorten that word to make it easier to say.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Try it.
No, I don't want to.
Okay.
This is a family show.
I think people don't have a broader context in the same way that you and I do about what actually is possible and what can happen. They don't see the people in your DMs saying, thank you so much for your posts. You've really helped me, right? They don't see the people who take our course, who message us and say, oh, I have a wife that I want to be Catholic and I don't know how to talk to her about it. Thank you guys so much for this course because it's going to give me the tools.
Something that happened yesterday is like a testimonial that someone sent. So I floated a short idea. I was like, I have an idea. I want to like send it to a couple of people, like small test group of maybe 10. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk about it on the podcast because that would defeat the purpose.
That's fine. But it's another business that he's starting without me, folks. Don't worry. It's just Patrick going out on his own.
It's just an idea.
Leaving me behind.
It's an idea of like monetizing things that I already have. Like,
yeah, no, I got you.
Making something that I used to do that I will not. No, something that I've already done a lot of work on that was like planning on giving it away for free. I've learned recently that people don't really value things you give away for free. And so I'm working on the thing that I was like, I'm going to charge like $10 a month for this and $100 for the year. So two months free for the year.
Yeah.
Within 2 minutes, someone had bought a year subscription to this sight unseen. And he messaged me and he said, your threads have been really helpful. Like, thank you so much for all of your writing. And I was like, that guy thought that my threads were so valuable that he just paid me $100. He was like, I like what you do.
Yep.
And it was like that's insane. Like, to me, that's crazy. Because, and that shows what's possible is like those kinds of actions of our audience enables us to do it more. And that and that's what people don't see. They go, oh, you're selling the gospel. And it's like that's not true.
No.
You can get the gospel elsewhere. But people are like, wow, you're really killing it with this specific mode of sharing things about the faith. It's like things that I share are not always gospel related. Like, I'm not posting, you know, get baptized, repent and be baptized, that'll be $20. You know?
Imagine. Maybe there's something to that. Has anyone tried that?
Yeah. Has anybody tried that? Anyway, it's a hard line. It's a hard line to walk, and I am conscious of it. But the constant barrage, like one of our friends was like, you have to be really careful about the grifter label. It'll stick with you. I'm like, I don't think it does, because I think it does on Catholic Twitter. But you know how many normie Catholic people in the pews at my church just love Taylor Marshall? They're like, he's great.
Yeah.
Timothy Gordon, they're like, he's awesome.
He's awesome.
And it's like, you know what? Fine. Like, you don't know about the gingerbread thing. That's really funny. Let me tell you about the gingerbread thing real quick. They go, that's hilarious. And they don't like lose their minds about it.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not worried about becoming a quote unquote grifter. Because Matt Frads earned that reputation, and he does fine.
He's great, and he's wonderful.
You know, it's making a difference. It's like the thing
people accuse Father Mike Schmitz of being a grifter. It's like, at what point does the word retain its meaning?
People accuse the pillar of being grifters, and I think they're fantastic. I think
they're the best in the biz. Great. It's not even a question. Like,
I think my main problem, or my main kind of the thing that really hits me, is that I am always quick to defend, I guess, not necessarily my friends. Obviously, I'm quick to defend my friends. I'm very quick to see, okay, hold on. We're calling Matt Frat a grifter. I don't like everything he does. I don't like everything he says. What's the grift? What is he doing that's wrong? I'm very mm-hmm. quick to like extend that mm-hmm. That piece to other people, that like assumption of virtue. And I just kind of sucks that I don't get that myself.
Yeah. But why do you deserve that? You know,
I probably don't.
Well, I mean, you deserve it because you have dignity, right? But it's like,
yeah.
But you know, you can't expect people
like,
to treat you well.
It sucks that the guy who runs the Catholic Answers Twitter is, you know, lecturing me in my comments, and it's like, hey man, could you think for a second about how this might harm me and my reputation?
But they don't. That's the thing, is they don't see you as one of them. Right. So you've achieved something, which is, I mean, a modicum of success. You're not really that successful. And you know this, and I know this, but people who, again, it's the pusillanimous. They think so small. They think if you make $100 from X advertising revenue sharing, that you're wealthy. Right. And I really don't think it's about money. Like, I don't think everyone out there is just poor and that's the problem. I think there's a spiritual sickness in the Catholic world that makes people think very tiny. They don't have like the, which is weird because we're in America, which is which anything is possible here. We're the greatest country in the history of the world, in the biggest place. We have Buc-ee's, and people are upset because you have 40,000 followers on Twitter. And that makes you like this untouchable. It doesn't even matter if I hurt your feelings because you're not real at that point. Like they equate you to some type of like Tom Cruise, where I can
they're
say
like
anything about
at,
Tom
they
Cruise.
They feel like they're yelling at the moon.
Exactly right. They're yeah. shaking their fist at a symbol. Right. You're no longer a person. You like represent something to them, and that mm-hmm. thing is different for each person. Because for some people, you represent Franciscan and the far right traditionalists, and to some people, you represent the left. Vatican II gay church, and to some people you represent the grifters, right? So it's just the whole, and that is just what happens when you become a symbol, which is weird.
It's
right,
like when someone one of my friends said to me, like, well, you know, this is in the context of people saying depression is
we all
real.
Exist in like, the context
we all exist Sorry. The context I fell out of a coconut tree. I
did I miss her? Bring her back.
I know. We need to bring her back. Can we get her on the pod? What's she doing? She's not
Kamala,
doing
what do you up to? Is the wine running out in all the local DC liquor stores? Because we have plenty down here in Oklahoma.
We have plenty down here.
Come on down. Take a visit.
Someone was like, oh, why? Oh, everyone thinks JD drinking a beer is so cool, but Kamala drinking wine is lame. Yeah. Yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah.
Correct.
It's cool to be a beer dad. It's cringe to be a wine mom. Everyone knows this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just how it is. I wish it wasn't. It's cool to be a whiskey mom. She could be a whiskey mom.
If she was a whiskey mom, she might have won the damn election.
What's that song where Kelly Clarkson talks about shooting whiskey? Who is? Or that's not Kelly Clarkson.
I dug my keys into the side of his pretty little souped up hawk to a coin. I think we should make a version of that song that's all about Talk Tua and Haley Welch.
So someone said, "Oh, this tweet about depression comes in the context of people saying depression isn't real." And I was like, "Yeah, that's what my tweet represented for them,
where right.
all of those people that told them their depression isn't real, but it's not. That's not what it was. It's a that's a mirage. You're mm-hmm. you're tilting at windmills here.
Nah.
That's what it is. That's what it is. You've come up with this." This caricature and you're
hold
and
on
you're beating this straw man.
Bong Quixote is just smoking weed the whole time.
Bong Quixote.
All right, here, continue. That's all I got.
She donned my Quixote.
No, that see, she Sancho on my Panza till I
till I Rocinante.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
What were we saying? I was not paying attention because I thought of Don Quixote. Keep going back. So you're tilting at windmills.
Yeah. And this has a broader... This is not just about me on Twitter. I know this is like a cliche of our podcast, but it says it's something broader is occasionally we do this with people, you know, like just in our lives. It's harder to do it with people we know because we know them, but it's really easy to do this with people we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
to turn them into caricatures and turn them into the source of our ills. You can tell it's right. Easy because it happens when you're driving and they're not really people. They're just a box that's in your way.
Yeah. They're and a Nissan so Altima and you're like, Oh, what if I did a pit maneuver on that Nissan Altima? And it's missing one rim and you're like, I know the type of person that you are. I'm going to take you out.
Corolla that's missing one rim.
You do?
They put a weight on the wheel. And so I can't put the hubcap back on.
Why'd they put a weight on the wheel?
I don't know, man. To keep it, according to the person who did it, to keep it from going, whoa, 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 whoa.
Guy who doesn't know the word brake. Yeah, they put a weight on the wheel.
It's the
W-A-I-T.
Back wheel.
It makes the car wait. It's a stupid joke. It's not important.
That's pretty funny.
It's fine. I couldn't get all the way there on the delivery. Yes, you're right. We all do this. People look at, people do this to Donald Trump, or people will do this to, their pastor, or they'll do it to their mother-in-law, or they'll do it to whoever. Like it's strange to me. Maybe it's just cause I don't have time. Like I don't have time to sit and like read someone else's post and then assume that it was about me and then assume it was about my problems. I don't have time to log on or listen to something that Donald Trump says and be like, he's attacking me. He's going to take my rights away. Donald Trump couldn't find me. I was needling the haystack because I am. I'm one guy in 330 million people. He couldn't find me. Couldn't get me. If I was gay, he wouldn't know where to look. You know? So what are people getting frustrated by?
Did you see the Nick Fuentes body cam footage?
I saw the ring cam footage of the guy at his house, but I didn't see any body cam footage.
So they released the body cam footage of the first time someone went to his house.
Yeah. Oh, from the lady who did the pepper spray? Yeah.
Yeah. So they released that body cam footage and the cop is like interviewing this woman. And this is a great example.
Yeah.
This is a great example. Now, what he said was dumb and bad and wrong. And he shouldn't have said that.
Who, Nick Fuentes?
Yeah, he should not have said the my body my choice thing. Your body my choice. He should not have said that. That was dumb.
No.
Did
you see the chat that someone left him on Twitch or Rumble or whatever he was on? That was like, hey Nick, how does it feel to be disavowed by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops specifically? This is crazy. So funny. I know. Poor guy.
And so this woman was, you know, just explaining to this police officer. It was a surreal experience watching someone in real life explain a Twitter flame war to an officer of the law who's like,
yes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You can't
about.
Go to someone's house and do that.
Yeah,
ma'am.
You've come. Unfortunately, your online brain has confronted with reality. And she was talking and she was like, so he said your body, my choice. So he's evil against women. And then she said it like that. And I was like, that.
Oh, no.
Evil against women. And so he's violent against women. And he's threatening women. And it was very like, I was like, hold on. You got to connect dots here.
Right.
And if you listen to this podcast, you know we're not Nick Fuentes defenders. But it's someone trying to explain why they're taking drastic action against someone for what is, in the grand scheme of things, a phrase that can only hurt you if you let it.
Yes. Oh.
You can only... He was wrong to say that. Perhaps I was wrong to say what I said. Certainly not as wrong, I would say.
There's gradation there.
There's grades of wrongness. But it's... The words on the internet and the words in the Orange Man in the White House and the words of your mother-in-law can only hurt you if you let them. Ethan, help, I'm drowning. I need to find land, perhaps an island, a Greek island, to find safety, both in physical and digital security.
You got your little flippers on?
I got my little blue
little
snorkel.
Swimming boy? You little snorkel?
Swimming. I'm like, help someone find me. I'm swimming in an ocean of privacy violations, and I need to find a haven in this digital ocean.
You're the type of guy that would go on an excursion in the Mediterranean and the boat would leave you behind. I just need you to know that. I hear you. I think the internet is getting more and more pernicious. They're making robots that talk and walk and pour drinks.
Pour beer.
And it's getting to be a little bit much. I mean, we're going to Mars, but at what cost? You know what I mean? And I think that each American, especially in the coming years when it's going to become illegal to be Catholic, we deserve our privacy. We deserve to be protected from government overreach and big companies that are spying on us, trying to target us with ads, trying to get us to spend our hard-earned dollars on their junk instead of on investing in a beautiful future for our families and our friends. Patmos Hosting Solutions can solve that. Not only do they protect you from big tech, not only do they provide a one-of-a-kind integrated hosting solution for your business, for your website, for your platform, whatever it is you need, but they will never censor you. They'll never take your data, even if they 100% disagree with you. Even if they think you're the worst person on the planet, they have that integrity, and that's what I really love about Patmos.
Yeah, Patmos has really helped us out over the past couple of months, setting us up on our website. We are believers. We practice what we preach. And so our podcast is secure on Patmos servers, free from any kind of external intrusion that might occur. And they got a great team. They'll walk you through setting it up. It's one-on-one service, which you're not going to get on any competitor web hosting services. You go to your whatever, your Wix space or your Wordly, whatever. They're not going to host your web. They're not going to walk you through hosting. You're going to have to set up some kind of nonsense. They're going to walk you through it. They're going to help you out. They're great over there.
If you tell them that we sent you, you get 10% off. Go to patmos.tech. Let them know that we sent you. Thank you to Patmos for sponsoring this episode of The Cringe. I was talking to someone about this. I can't find the post now, but I don't know what the virtue is. It's like, maybe it's courage or maybe it's wisdom or something, but maybe there's something wrong with me, but I've never read something that wasn't directed towards me and then been upset by it personally, you know?
Yeah.
It's never happened to me. I've never read someone say something about the Catholic Church or about, you know, something that represents my family or my lifestyle or whatever, and then gotten personally offended.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, I'm genuine, if there's people in our audience that are like, this happens to me all the time, let me explain to you why. I would love to understand, because because people are telling me that I should, like, it feels weird because you say, like, hey, if you read words that offend you, you can just decide to not care about those words and then they won't offend you anymore. And people are telling me that that's harmful. And so then I'm saying, okay, so what words should I read that I have to find harmful? You know, what words should I read that have to be offensive? Because apparently me not reading the words and not getting offended is wrong, because everyone should be allowed. So it's like, what? So is there something wrong with me? Should I be reading these things and getting offended? That doesn't seem right.
I think there, you know, there's obviously limits in that direction, but while you're saying that, it's like, well, I've certainly read a lot of things and gotten offended this week, but simply because they were
directed at you, which is different. It's different if someone says, if someone writes to you personally, your phone number says Patrick Nevy, F you, versus if someone were to post, I think people who post about Catholicism on X are disgusting pigs. Then it's like, all right, cool.
Yeah, I think if someone posted that, I would be like, wrong.
I would be like, you're right, and then I would post a picture of you underneath the tweet.
But yeah, it's
or even if a stranger DM'd that to me, I'd be like, thanks for the opinion, you know.
Yeah, like, thank you.
That doesn't, I don't know you, you don't know me, so you calling me a disgusting pig does very little to harm me.
Perhaps it is because they respect me deep down. Because if I like, they only get mad at people that are like, no one spends all day, you know, screenshotting and ranting about random Pepe Frog avatar who says something offensive just for fun. That's another thing that people think you just post rage bait and you grow on Twitter. That's incorrect.
No.
That is a misnomer. When I post something that makes people mad, it's not because I'm gaming the system or because I'm a mastermind. It's because I had a thought that people generally disagreed with. My bad.
Yeah. You can only have soft boy opinions.
Yeah.
You should be a good boy and everyone should be able to agree with you and we should all be able to laugh and have fun. And, oh, look, the priest is dancing. Isn't that so fun that the priest is dancing? It's not. I'm tired of pretending that it is. I don't think priests should dance. I don't think they should wear pants. Put them in the cassock. Put them back in the rectory. Stop letting them out.
Father Paul and I were having a conversation about priests online today. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, it's kind of unbecoming of a priest to be like, all the examples that he gave of people who were like kind of seeking fame in a wrong way were priests. And Matt, Fred. But I was like, yeah, it's kind of weird for a priest to do it, especially a young one, because it's like, hey, did you become a priest so you could be internet famous? Like, because that's kind of what it seems like. It kind of seems like you've made your whole identity about like, I'm becoming a priest. Isn't that kind of weird? And I also have a phone. You know,
and I mean, it's not out of the question in the last 80 years for a priest to become a priest for ulterior motives, you know.
No, that's the thing. It's like, did you become a priest for that specifically? It's the question comes up. It's like, you know,
I'd rather they become priests to get TikTok famous than become priests to run homosexual pedophile rings. You know,
fair enough.
I'm gonna take the progression. You know, on that one,
I will take it. That's why when we were discussing there was a very open about it, but there was a priest who left the priesthood in our town.
Mm-hmm.
And was released from the clerical state and released from his obligation of celibacy, and so got married or whatever. And like our family was kind of talking about it, and someone kind of said like, oh, that's so scandalous, like that's a shame. I'm like, hey, at least it was a consensual relationship with a woman. let's put that one in the W column.
It could have been way worse.
could have been, and actually could not have been better. In my
could not have been better. Like, she wasn't underage when they first started. He didn't abscond to Italy with her, you know?
I forgot about that. That's crazy.
Nobody's heard from that guy.
Tweet it right now. Whatever happened to the Italy priest? Whatever happened to the priest who
Whatever happened to the priest that took his child bride to Italy?
Did we ever find him?
Father Alex Cross.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sure the pillar would be all over it if he had come back. Yeah, the most recent news was from 2023. So, poor guy.
Hold on, that's so funny. I don't typically. If you've been thinking about joining the Patreon, and because you should do it, because our Discord has gotten really big that we really aren't in the main chats anymore. We're kind of only in the Patreon chat. So if you want to have conversations with us, we're always in the Patreon chat. But Madeline said something earlier, and I immediately responded to her. And Ninja Fish said, I asked Madeline why Pat responded to her so fast. It took so long for him to respond to my DM. And she said, be funny. I don't know what to tell you, man.
Mogged by your own wife.
That's really funny.
This is good. Hopefully that wasn't too self-aggrandizing, you know, all of that. I think it goes beyond online. I think this is a bigger problem. I think it's endemic in the Catholic world that things don't. We've talked about this before. This is not recent. We've talked about this in terms of business, in terms of beauty, architecture, politics. Like, it should all be owned and dominated by Catholics because we're right about everything. And I'm not, put me in jail, right, if you think I'm wrong. But we have our little young adult groups. Oh, we're gonna play softball. We're going to play softball together. And it's like, why don't we all get rich and influence the politics of our local city and state? Yeah. Instead,
that's why Zach and I started the Catholic Business Alliance.
Yeah, on the yeah, Catholic. Made it on the Christmas card too. By the way,
the Crunch didn't make it on the Christmas card, but my business that I started with my friend Zach did, because Phoebe wrote the Christmas card, and Ethan was like, "Dog, why am I not on the card?"
It's like I talk to Patrick every week. We launched the course this year. I helped him. He's grown on X. I know, Phoebe was like,
there's nothing new going on with the Crunch.
There's so much new going on with the Crunch.
What do you mean?
Convince your friends. We launched an email list this year. I have an email scheduled to go out tomorrow. Phoebe didn't put that on the Christmas card, so that's crazy.
the Crunch is finally a significant line item in our budget.
Yeah, it's like we're consistently making money. We're reaching people. We're connecting with people. But no, Zach gets the name drop. On the cool guy Zach gets the name. I bet if I met him, I would drop him like a bag of potatoes.
I don't think that's the case.
One fist straight to the jaw. He's out like a light.
Two hits. Me hitting you and then you hitting me. Because I didn't knock you out the first time. But then we both got tired. So we're stopping.
I would never engage in hand-to-hand combat with a business associate, my business associate. Unless... said business associate was defrauding or otherwise harming Patrick.
Or on the Christmas card.
If he was on the Christmas card, it's on site if you're on the Christmas card, by the way. Zach, if you're listening to this, I'm going to come to your house with a crossbow.
You might be. I think there's a poverty in the church's aspirations, especially
yes.
in the lay church's aspirations.
Yes.
I think John Paul II wrote Christi Fidelis Laici and we said, that's nice. I'm going to be a Eucharistic minister. That wasn't the point. I think we just didn't read it at all.
Listen, some of us have it saved on their computer.
That's the extent that a lot of us got to, but there's a part of us that's like, very small-minded. We think, you know, the extent to which we can affect the world is like we can be more involved in our parish, or we can like, you know, have a nice job. And it's like, yeah, that's fine, but we can do so much more. Like we should be building businesses because businesses bless other people. I was talking to Phoebe about building the social media thing. And I was like, we could hire people and like we can make this much money and then we can hire these people. She's like, well, I don't know if I want to make this much money. I'm like, yeah, but we could make this much money and hire five people. So we can make all of this money. She's like, well, we got to give it all away. I'm like, no, what if we hire people and then they – and we instead of giving it all away, just giving it away, we hire five people and they feed their families. But isn't that more – not more, but like isn't that also a way to bless people with your wealth? And it's what?
Would you hire me if I would hire you.
Really? I'd hire you if you needed a job.
If I needed a job, you'd hire me, even though you know all my dirty, disgusting secrets.
I actually don't think I would hire you. I think if I started a business that size about social media marketing, you would just be involved.
Thank you.
Do you disagree with that?
No, I don't.
Okay. Yeah.
It was just a chump check to make sure that you weren't too big for your britches. You didn't forget where you came from. You know, it's kind of the
I would never forget the Crunch Catholic podcast. Never ending this podcast.
I really don't ever want to. I think about that sometimes. Think about how I almost ended the show when I was young and stupid, but how I'm so thankful. If I didn't have this show, I think I would literally lose my mind. If I did not have you to talk to, I think I would have gone postal by now. I think I would have pulled a Ted Kaczynski in some regard. And so,
to Oklahoma City. You can't say that too loud, bro.
Yeah, yeah. No, what was the guy's name? I can see his face, but I can't remember his name, which is probably the opposite of most people. What's the name of the guy that did the Oklahoma City bombing?
Was that not?
No, Ted Kaczynski was he was the Unabomber. You didn't know that Ted Kaczynski, Timothy McVeigh, because he had a unibrow.
That can't be it.
Why did they call him?
Is it because he did all of his bombings on a unicycle?
Oh, because the FBI used the code name Unabomb to refer to the case, which stands for University and Airline Bomber.
That's not very fun.
That's not cool at all. I thought it was... He does kind of have like a... He died in prison recently. Did you know about that?
It's very sad.
Yeah. Just a misunderstood guy. Well, he murdered.
It does suck to...
It
does suck to die in prison. I do think that we should not let people die in solitary confinement. I think if we're going to put people in solitary confinement, we should just kill them. That's my personal opinion.
I agree with you. If you want to hear more, Patrick,
you can fight with me about that. I think putting someone in solitary confinement for the rest of their life is killing them. It just makes them go insane and become subhuman, and it's bad for people. If they did something that bad, you should probably just kill them.
We're going to keep talking about the Unabomber. Go on over to patreon.com/thecrunch. $10 a month and up will get you over 100 bonus podcasts. I cannot emphasize enough. Hundreds of
you
hours.
You will have so much content.
There's so much content.
You're going to cry.
You're going to cry and pee and cry if you get it. All right, Patrick, give me anything else?
Follow me on Twitter because I'm no longer on Catholic Twitter. Follow me on X. I'm no longer on Catholics. I've ascended.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. We'll see you all next time. Goodbye.